Amenu Chokitoy, by the brachos of Yaakov Avinu to Yisachar, by Yamenu Chokitoy, he saw that Menucha was good. Vehilu Masavei, by Yet Shichmoy was bold. When he lowered his shoulder to carry the burden. So the Chazon Ish used to say, all the Mefarshim really asked the Kasha, well, what does this mean? Vayamenu chakitoyv, he saw that rest was good, he saw that tranquility was good, menucha is gavaldik, and then he starts working. If you see menucha is gavaldik, so why you start working? So the Chazon Ish used to say that that's what the way a Jew operates. The Jew operates, he sees, he realizes that his most valuable asset, he has to be makriv to the Rabbeinu Shalom. So vayar menucha kitoy, if you saw the most valuable thing a person has in life is menucha sanefesh, rest, menucha, and that's what he's makiv to the Rebbeinu Shem, vayet shichma lizbol, he lowers his shoulder, and he's willing to dedicate that menucha, I could have menucha now, vayet shichma lizbol. So that's what we're doing here this morning. Person has a few days, a few hours off from work, and the opportunity is there for menucha, to go home and to rest. So a little bit, we'll have menucha a little bit later, but vayet shichma lizbol, let's dedicate some of that time to the avodas Hashem, to limud haTorah. Just one other point I want to mention, you know, it's interesting, we've discussed this a little bit in the past, I don't want to harp on it now, but our attitude towards this time of the year and the holidays that the secular world around us celebrate has become somewhat of a, again, of course we don't celebrate them, but we can't deny the fact that, you know, it's a nice time of the year, it's easier time, the market is closed, I don't have to go into work, so people often, you hear comments from people where they, you know, they basically say it's an enjoyable time of the year, which is understandable, but we have to at the very least appreciate that this time of the year, for most of Jewish history, for our grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, was wrought with tremendous, tremendous yisurin, neiron. And the fact that we were able to wake up in the morning this morning and not be concerned and see how many of our neighbors have been slaughtered, how much Jewish blood has been spilled, that we're able to come to Beis Medrash and learn, and we don't even think twice about it, that is something we have to be makir toif to, the Rebbeinu Shalom for, something that we should appreciate. We shouldn't allow their sacrifice of yesteryear go unnoticed. This is something which is a tremendous, tremendous bracha in the scheme of Jewish history. This is something which is unheard of. This is normally a time in Jewish history where Jews lived in tremendous fear. Jews didn't leave their home because they were so concerned about what could happen. They would wake up this morning and it was expected that there was going to be a number of levayas just because people were killed, Jewish blood was spilled. So it's something that we have to appreciate as this time of the year comes, and we have to be makir toiv that we're able to live freely in this Medina shel Chesed. So without any further ado, let's discuss the topic that we are scheduled to discuss this morning. That's a topic, usually around this time of year, the Minhag Yisrael has become to discuss topics of B'chukai Seim Leiseleichu. But I think in previous years, we've already exhausted all the regular topics, so I decided to focus in on one topic which is related to B'chukai Seim Leiseleichu, or maybe not related to B'chukai Seim Leiseleichu, which is part of the question, and that is the concept of having non-Jewish names, and the concept of names in general, when naming a child, when naming a grandchild. These questions are becoming very, very popular. You see, as time, it's interesting, from the historical perspective of halacha, you see that these questions are becoming arising more and more. The more modern the Sifrei Psak of the Sifrei Shaila Tshuva, the more of these type of shailas you'll have. You take a look at Ramosha has a number of tshuvas, as we'll see, on these topics, whereas older tshuvas, they didn't have so many discussions about Shemus, about what the point of a name is and who I should name after. It seemed like it was more simple. They had bigger issues to be concerned about. But now it's becoming a big issue. And it's often on people's minds what they should be thinking about, who they should name after, and things of that nature. I want to focus particularly on this concept of using a non-Jewish name, and whether it falls into the category of B'chukai Seim. But through that, we'll use it as a springboard for the conversation in general. So the Gemara, of course, tells us in Maseches Brachos, the Gemara, I have many of the Marmakayim, because I have here if you want to look later, we don't have time to read them inside. But the Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us that there's a concept of Shmo Kagarim, that the name could actually have an effect. The name actually could cause certain type of propensities within a person, certain tendency within a person, and therefore we would assume that a person has to take this obligation of naming a child with extreme seriousness. A person has to take it very seriously, because if you're influencing to some degree the child, so you want to know what you're doing. For instance, you take a look at the Magid Meisharim, the parish of the Beis Yosef that he got from the Malach. I believe in Parshas Vayechi, either Parshas Vayechi or Parshas Shemayis, the Magid Meisharim says, well, if you name a child Yosef, so you have to understand there's a good chance he's going to be a person who is a gibur against the Arayis. That's going to be his Tchunas HaNefesh. You have to understand this may have a Tchunas HaNefesh where he's going to be supporting other people. That was Yosef HaTzadik. And then he goes through Yehuda. There are different associations that we have based on the store, based on the personalities in Tanakh, but that name carries with it. Because Shmo Kagarim, you take a look at the Medrash in Maromoko number 2, the Gemara, the Medrash tells us, Zechor Yimai Zaylam Binu Shnois Dar V'dar, La'oylam Yivdoik Adam B'Shemles. Don't just name someone haphazardly, randomly. Likroi Livnoi Haroi Lios Tzadik. Make sure that you're calling your son a name which could allow him or help him foster, engender these qualities of Tzidkas. Ki Lefamim Hashem Goyrim Toiv Oy Goyrim Ra. After all, we see sometimes the name could actually have an effect. It could have an influence. K'moshe Metzina b'Meraglim, Shemua ben Zohar, al Shalei Shama b'Divrei HaMakom. His name was Shemua. Why? You see, ultimately, Shalei Shama b'Divrei HaMakom. So there is a concept of Shema Kagarim. You take a look at the Marasha on that Gemara, the Gemara Meseches Brachos, and the Marasha brings a pasuk, says, if you take a look, Maramakam number 3, Shepu'ulais Hashem, hard to understand, but sometimes the Pu'ulais Hashem, Nimshachim Acharei Hashem, could be followed, could have be influenced by a shame. The shame speaks to the essence of a person. The shame speaks to the neshama of a person, Noam Melech Melech says. Noam Melech Melech famously says, when you try to wake a person up, the person could be totally out. And you try to wake him up and you push him, and he's not getting out of bed. And you call his name, somehow all of a sudden he wakes up and he might tell you to go away, but he's up, right? So why? Because the name speaks to the sherish and neshama of a person. Now what are we doing? So we know that a name is important. How important do we consider a name? How does a name influence? So that it seems that there is a different levels of understanding amongst the Mefarshim. The most basic level, and this is something for parents to keep in mind, grandparents to keep in mind, the most basic level of influence seems to be totally natural, totally understandable. If you name a person, child, after a specific person, and I could tell you personally in my family, I've seen this a number of times, the person, the child, grows up with a certain affinity, just natural, towards that person. He looks up towards that person, and that becomes, it's a clear message from day one, from the parent to the child, of the dreams, the aspirations they have for the person. So right away, off the bat, even on a psychological, a natural level, you have a concept of Shmo Kagarim, which some of the Sfarim talk about. Then there's the concept of, no, the name itself, which many of the Mefarshim, if most of the Mefarshim assume, the name itself has a certain mazel attached to it, and therefore it could influence the mazle. We'll see a little bit later that the Marshal says that the name Yeshaya and Yeshayahu, it's unclear exactly which one should you name your child. You want to name your child after the Chazon Ish. So is it Avram Yeshaya, Avram Yeshayahu? You want to name after Yeshaya and Novi, let's say. So is it Yeshaya or Yeshayahu? Both are used. So the Marshal explains that the reason why some people are makbid to do Yeshayahu, Gidalyahu, Yirmiyahu, why? Because we see that tragedies befell these people, and therefore, maybe there's some bad mazel that's related to the name, and therefore, if you're going to give the name, you want to change it. So we change it to Yeshayahu. Some say, that's why the Chasam Sofer writes, Akiva. Akiva is normally spelled throughout the Gemara with an aleph. The Arzarua had a dream. Why did he call the Sefer Arzarua? He said he had a dream. He was trying to figure out what to name his Sefer, and he's trying to figure out in a get how to spell the name Akiva. Is it with an aleph at the end, like it would be in Aramaic, or is it with a hey at the end, like it would be B'Lashon HaKodesh? And he has a dream, and Malach tells him, Or Zarua La Tzadik Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha. The Soifei Tevas is Akiva. You spell it without a hey. So the Zarua writes in his Akdama. You see, that was the message, Or Zarua La Tzadik Uli Yishrei Lev Simcha. You spell Akiva with a hey. And therefore, he called his name. He said, he was so excited about the dream, Shalim, as any of us would be, that he calls a sefer or a zaruah. But why? So some sefer says, why are we changing it throughout Shas is with an aleph? The reason to change it is because we see Rabbi Akiva's end. Rabbi Akiva had a tragic end. So therefore, we name a child, we want to make it a little bit of a shinui. So that's one concept, that the name is associated with some sort of mazel inherent in the name, and therefore we have to be careful when naming a child. The third concept, which most of the Pesukim don't discuss, it's more, there are a number of Pesukim that do discuss it, but it's more on the Kabbalistic side, it's hard to understand exactly, is that when a person names after someone specifically, so you're actually connecting that person to the Shurish HaNeshama. Almost like in Teres HaGilgulim or Teres Iber HaNeshama, there's a connection, a metaphysical connection between the two neshamas. Ad kedei kach, if you take a look at a tshuva from the Minchas HaLazer that I gave you over here, the Minchas HaLazer quotes a tshuva from the Tshuva Shai. And the Tshuva Shai was asked the Shaila that Rachmana Litzlan Nebuch, the father was Nifter before the Bris. And they wanted to name the son after the father. So there's a whole shaila whether you should name after someone who died young, or perhaps we'll get to it soon. But they asked the Minchas Allah, they asked the Tshuva Shai, are we allowed to do that? Because if we're assuming there's going to be a connection to the neshama, so he wasn't really born, he wasn't dead by the time, but when the child was born. So how can we say that there's a connection between the neshamas? The neshama came in well before the father had died. And Minchas Allah rejects the whole notion. He says, we're not trying to connect neshamas over here. There's no concept of forcing a Gilgul. He says, after all, you've seen people named after Moshe Feinstein who don't turn out so great. And you've seen people named after people that are much less and they turn out great. He says, there's no concept of Gilgul in neshamas. It's a concept of the name itself being Meir. So you see the name with regard to other person had a certain influence, so perhaps you could assume that that name has influence, but not that you're connecting the two people, so to speak. But those are three different madrigas. Natural, then there's the mazel of the name, and then there's the connection of the neshamas. So let's discuss this concept of non-Jewish names. There's an interesting shaila in the Marsham. Marsham was asked the following question. A woman donated a beautiful, beautiful paroches. It sounds like she made it herself. Beautiful paroches. And the shul was very excited with this paroches. There was only one problem. On the bottom of the paroches, she signed her name. Now, they weren't so upset about her signing her name. Problem is, she signed her name in the equivalent of, she used her English name with the ABC, in whatever language they were using at the time. So the people of the shul got so upset. It's one thing if she would call herself Rachel or Rivka, but now she's using the Goyisha name, it's on the Pareches over there, and they say, it's terrible, what's going on over here? So they write to the Marsham. You take a look at Mar Mokom, number 5. The Marsham makes an interesting distinction. The Marsham says, it depends. If she's using the secular alphabet, but she's at least using the name Rachel, she's using the name Rivka, so then, it's not so bad, it's not so terrible. But if she's using the Goyisha name, and she's writing it with the Goyisha Ksav, he says, that's unacceptable. He says, Mamish b'chul kaseim le'selecho. He says, that's what we got out of Mitzrayim for. We got out of Mitzrayim, Shaloshinu. One of the things was, Shaloshinu Hashemam. And now we're falling prey to the same thing. And he says, it's interesting, you see sometimes the Pesukim, they leave their expertise of psak, and then he starts giving etzes. So what you should do? What should you do? You should write take a piece of cloth, write the name in Hebrew and her Hebrew name, her lashon hakodesh, and you sew it on top of it, on top of the thing of, and that's the way you take care. But you see that the Marsham was very busy with this, and he said it's inappropriate to have a secular name on a parochus like that. The person who really took this position and really fought hard, the main tshuva, fighting this side that we should not have secular names and we should not be using secular names, which is always quoted, is the opinion of the Maram Shik. Maram Shik was a Talmud Muvak of Chassam Sofer. And Maram Shik fought adamantly, he thought it was Mamish also Lefi Adin. It's important to see this tshuva, this is one of the main sources on the topic. Maram Malkum 6 says the Maram Shik. What? So the story goes that when, it's not 100% clear, but when the government began starting to require that people have last names, so Maram Shik was very nervous about it. Again, he felt very strongly that people have to have Jewish names. And now if we have last names, maybe they won't be Jewish, even though we know now we have Jewish last names as well. So he picked Shik. What does Shik stand for? Shem Yisrael Kodesh. Keep the Jewish names. That's why he picked his last name. So Maram Shik writes as follows. Take a look at Maram Malkum number 6. Im omnam she'ein ani yoidei lechanei seisei mikomokum ra'isi she'ro'i lohoshiv ala dover she'shol she'yesh b'nei odam she'mechanim atzu b'shem ha'goyim. You gave the Musar a Amr B'Medrash. This is why we got it in Mitzrayim. He says, don't worry about that Medrash. I have a Jewish name also. Don't worry. Every so often, every few years, I come to Shul and they call me up to the Torah. They use my Jewish name. So I have a Jewish name also. The fact that I also have a secular name, that's not a problem. Says the Maram Shik, it's made up. It's a terrible thing. He says, "V'shem Yehudi l'krois boy lavlis b'Torah v'zeh dover hevel v'tipshus." Right? He's not exactly right. Exactly. Not exactly calm about this. Hevel v'tipshus ki bevada yesh b'zeh iser da'araisa. Maram Shik holds is an iser da'araisa to give and to use a secular name. And he continues along these lines, telling the people how terrible it is. Skip down to the final paragraph. We're backwards. All the centuries and generations of Jews throughout our history, even on the lowest level, Mitzrayim, we were oyvdei avodazara, but we weren't willing to give up our Jewish name. And now, it's easy, we'll have to give up our Jewish name. No problem, no fights yet. We'd rather have a secular name. Says the Maram Shik, Mamish Oser. That's the position of the Maram Shik, and he is the one who marshaled this position, evidence for this position, Maram Shik. On the other side, however, you have, somewhere in the middle, the Maharaj Dam. The Maharaj Dam was asked, a very interesting shaila, the Maharaj Dam was asked about people that were forced to, people similar to the Maranos, that were forced to live as Christians, as other religions. And now when they came back and had the opportunity to do tshuva, so they asked the Maharaj Dam, can we keep our secular names? You know, it's complicated, right? You have to go to the DMV's offices. They drive you nuts, right? So it's easier to keep the secular name. Is it a problem to keep the secular name? Marsham writes as follows, Mar Malcolm 7. Take a look at the final paragraph, Mar Malcolm 7. Tshuva, emes ki midas chasidus loy kamina, divadai midas chasidus ulaharchaka adam atzma mikom mine archaka she'efsher. He says it's the Midas Chasidus, but Me'ikar Adin, he's not going as far as Maram Shik. Maram Shik, Mamish holds his Asa, B'chukasem lo yiseleichu. And L'chayra, Misfari is right. I'm not allowed to dress like them. I'm not allowed to talk like them. I'm not allowed to do things which are, according to many poskim, even not inherently religious. I'm not allowed to do them. So why should I be able to let it call those names? That's Maram Shik's position. Maharaj Dam says it's a Midas Chasidus not to use his names, but he can't say Me'ikar Hadin. So that's the middle approach. And then, of course, we have Rav Moshe Feinstein on the other side. Rav Moshe was asked this kasha. Rav Moshe has a number of tshuvas about this. And Rav Moshe was asked as follows, Mar Malkum 9, Im Lishanois Shem Laz Lashem Belashan HaKodesh, Shekoyri Lebito Al Shem Imoy. I want to name my daughter after my mother. But my mother's name was a secular, I'm afraid to use an example. No, my mother's name wasn't Sarah. My mother's name, what? Sonia, okay. Alice, okay. My mother's name was a secular name. Everyone's scared that I'm going to use their mother's name. So my mother's name was a secular name. Could I name her after my mother? Should I name her after mother? Keep it an aim. Or is it better that I don't name after my mother? Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, fascinating. Take a look at the Mahalach HaPsak of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Absolutely fascinating. Mar Malkum 9, I can't do it justice in the time we have here, but I encourage you all to look at these tshuvas on your own later today. Mar Malkum 9, says Rav Moshe, Hine bedover shema shalaz. Shekasavti, she'afu dover mugune. This is one of the tshuvas of Moshe, which often gets misquoted. Moshe mater, he said it's mutter. He did say it's mutter. But if you get at the beginning, he starts off by saying dover mugune. He says this is not appropriate, but he doesn't say it's aser. Dover mugune ain't no iser. It's not aser. Shulchein chazina kama shema shalaz mikom medin medimo. Nasu b'meshach hasman degolus arosh and eskafu medinas. He says you don't have to be a bucky in shas to realize how long Jewish people have had the custom of using secular names. Right? It's hard to find a Jewish name on the pages of Shas. Most of them are secular names of the Amiram and the Tanam. Even though I imagine that this was a battle waged by the G'dayli Hador at the time when all these names entered our culture, I imagine they were fighting. This was the topic at the Gudah convention that year. But Lamaisa, they lost. And once it's part of us, it becomes a Jewish name. It's part of our culture. Right? Ber wasn't a Jewish name. But now, so if you hear a guy Baruch Ber, you're going to know exactly, you know what he looks like, right? So these things become a part of our culture. says Rav Moshe, and Mimela, once it became a part of our culture, there's no problem. Achen Nikru Kfar L'Shemus Yisrael, you already consider them Jewish names. U'B'Shemus Noshim Heim B'Yoyser Tzlein, and when it comes to women's names, even more. Shonu B'Bnei Ashkenaz Heim B'Shemus Ashkenaz M'Goli Sfarad. It's fascinating. Rav Moshe goes through like the history of names in different parts of the world. Unbelievable. So Rav Moshe says, at this point, at the time, it was a problem, and I'm sure they fought it at the time. But Lamaisa, at this point, most of these names became accepted, and therefore there is no problem. But Davar Maguna, better to pick a name, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Rachel, Leah, Rivka. These are better names after the Shemos of the Avos HaKedoshim. Let's digress for a moment. In this same tshuva, Rav Moshe, again, is dealing with naming after this person's mother. Apparently, Rav Moshe knew this situation. And Rav Moshe says, I'm not bothered by the name Sonia. I don't remember what the name was. I'm not bothered by the name Sonia. It already became a Heimisha name at this point. However, your mother was Nifteres Young. So is there an issue for naming after someone who's Nifteres Young? Rav Moshe Shita was, Yesh Ktsas Kpei Debezeh. It's unclear what Rav Moshe means. He doesn't think it's Aser. He doesn't think it's necessarily the worst, the end of the world. But yesh ktsas kpei debezeh, as we mentioned before, Yeshaya Hanavi, we changed to Yeshayahu. Yirmiyah, many changed to Yirmiyahu. Why? Akiva, many changed the Aleph to Hey. Why? To make Shinoi, because sometimes the name is Goyer. Moshe says, how young is young? How young is young? Moshe says, first of all, if a person died young before he was married without any children, so then there's more of a kpeda. If he has children, so it's less of a kpeda. But how young is young? He says, well, we know people name after Shmuel. Shmuel died at 52. So he died at 52, so you know that if a person's 52, it's not considered to be young anymore. Some say in the name of Yaakov Kamenetsky, now people are living longer. So 60, once he hits 60, so then it's not considered to be, that's already a full life. Again, we hold 70 is a full life, but it's full enough. And therefore, it's not considered to be a kpeda anymore. But Rav Moshe does say that a person should be makbid. I remember I was once learning late at night in a Beis Medrash when I was very young, and I
very young.
It was a year or two ago. So I was learning in a Beis Medrash, in a strange Beis Medrash. I don't want to give too many details. You'll figure it out. But it was one of these places. It's not like a classical yeshiva. It's one of these places where strange things happen, and I was there, and strange things happened. Someone runs in, and he says, I need 10 people. That was very late at night. The chances of getting 10 people was very slim. I need 10 people right now. I need 10 people. He's screaming, I need 10 people. I hope he's not watching this video. I need 10 people. Okay, well, what do you need 10 people for? I have to change my name. You have to change your name. Now, on a Thursday night, at 1 o'clock in the morning, you have to change your name. Right now, you have to change your name right now. I have to change my name. So I said, what's your name? He said, my name is Yonason. Yonason. And my Rebbe told me that Yonason is a terrible name, because we know Yonason was chased his whole life. And Rabbi Yonason Eibshitz was chased his whole life. And why was it? Because his name was Yonason. I have to change my name. So I said, well, my name's also Yonason. My name's Mordechai Yonason. So I said, if you have to change your name, I also have to change my name. We need to sit down. And so he gathered 10 people. I didn't sign off on it, but I was there. And he changed his name from Yonason. I forgot what he changed it to. So I thought at the time, I always had it unclear. Is my name Mordechai Yonason, or is my name Mordechai Yohonason? My parents say they say Mordechai Yonason. Very often, we see that Yonason has changed to Yohonason. In Tanakh, you find both, Yonason and Yohonason. Perhaps it's a similar thing, that Yonason Taka had a bad mazel, and therefore, the midrash became to use the name with Shem Hashem, that's also used in Tanakh, of Yohonason. Be that as it may, so we see that Rav Moshe takes that seriously. But what's fascinating is Rav Moshe's Eitzah. One of Rav Moshe's Eitzahs is, so add a name. Add a name. The person suggested adding a letter to name. I think the name was Razel, so he says, we'll call her Drazel. So Rav Moshe says, not a good idea over here. Not a good idea. Don't try playing around with names. But instead of Razel, you call her Chana Razel, something like that. So Rav Moshe says, add a name. What do you see for Rav Moshe? And this is an interesting point. What do you see for Rav Moshe? When you add a name, you still accomplish what you're trying to accomplish by naming after the person. He says, you're still naming after your mother. You just add a name. This is not so poshut at all. This was a big debate. Is a big debate amongst the poskim. When you add a name, now a person's name Mordechai Yonason. Is my name Mordechai and Yonason, or is my name a new name called Mordechai Yonason? Has nothing to do with Mordechai. Nothing to do with Yonason. So the Chazon Ish felt very strongly when you have two names, it's a new name. It's not the same name as before, and therefore you're not accomplishing what you're trying to accomplish. And Rav Sternbach quotes the Chazon Ish, like Rav Sternbach also, very strongly. He says, first of all, if you're going to call a person, this is not Minhag Yisrael, but if you're going to call a person two names and you don't call him those names, so then it's meaningless. Why are you doing that? There's no kunz at the bris. You called him Mordechai Yonasan, and now you call him Mordechai. That's nothing. He says, if you want to call him two names, so call him two names. But know that those two names, that's his name. It's not two separate names. It's one name, Mordechai Yonasan, and therefore, you're not naming after the person you were trying to name. Rav Moshe clearly doesn't hold like that, because Moshe over here suggests, add a name, and it's still accomplished. Where's Rav Chazon Ish's Raya? Take a look at a Chazon Ish. You know those psukim that you get up to in Shnayim Mikra Vechatargim, and you're excited because you don't have to think, because they're just names? Chazon Ish thought about it, apparently. Take a look at Mar Malkum 15. Says the Chazon Ish, Mar Malkum 15, V'yor ben Menashe, holach v'yilkoit es chavoyseyem, v'yikra es hen chavoyseyor. Yor ben Menashe established this place, and what did he call it? Chavoyseyor. Says the next pasuk, v'noivach holach v'yilkoit es kenaz, nekenaz, v'es benaseh v'yikra lo noivach bishmoy. When it comes to Chavis Yor, it says the Chazon Ish, it doesn't say, Vayikra lo Chavis Yor Bishmoy. When it comes to Noivach, it says Noivach Bishmoy. Why? Because Chavis Yor, Yor added on a name. When you add on a name, it's not the same name, says the Chazon Ish. Chavis Yor, it's already a separate name. It can't say Bishmoy. And even later in Torah, when it says he named it on based on his name Yor, it says Al Shemo. But Bishmo has to literally be that exact name. Therefore, Chazon Ish says, adding a name, you ruin the whole concept of naming after a person. We saw clearly from Rav Moshe, that's not the case. Rav Moshe even suggested such a thing. It's important, la halacha, also. It's not just a question about whether you accomplish this zechus of naming after a forefather. It's important, la halacha. For instance, in Neid Behuda as a shayla. We know that by when it comes to Hilchas Gittin, you're not supposed to write the name on two lines. You're supposed to write the name on one line. So the question is, my name's, let's say a person's name is Yehuda Yaakov, right? So could you write Yehuda on one line and Yaakov on the next line? Or no, his name is Yehuda Yaakov. So that's the question that Yehuda is dealing with. So it makes a big difference. Chaim Sofer says, you know, this whole thing about giving two names, where did it come from? You ever look in the Gemara? How often does it happen in the Gemara where you have two names in the Gemara, right? Do you ever see Reuven Shimon in the Gemara? Reuven Shimon Stam aren't called up Reuven for the most part, which is a separate discussion. But where do we have two names? He says, even in the Rishonim, when do you have two names? Anyone remember in a Taisis anywhere having Rabbeinu Tam, right? Do we ever have two names? Chulin. We'll get to in Chulin. What daf we have to in Chulin? Chavdal. Oh, you get to in a few months. Hopefully you'll still remember this year. We get, there's a Taisis in Chulin in the Kuf Yud something, where Taisis quotes one of the Balei Tois is Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael. The stipler's name was Yaakov Yisrael. Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael. So that's what Chaim Sofer says. That's the only place I can remember, and I'll take his word for it, where there's a Rishon that's named after two names. Where did this come from to name two names? What happened over here? Chaim Sofer says, never happened. I don't know what's going on over here that we see that Chal Yisrael has changed to name two names. Some suggest that what happened was, like Dov Ber, we started adding the secular name. We didn't want to drop the Lashon Kodesh. Then we started giving two names. Once two names was acceptable, we had the Gabon already all confused. So we figured we may as well give two. Now people have three names. So that's an interesting concept when it comes to two names. But it seems to be a machlekes. Yeah. That was always from Mimei Kedem. So it seems to be a machlekes amongst the poskim. When you add a name, are you still maintaining? But we go Ramesha says it still has this notion of naming after a specific person. There is a lot of discussion in today's world about a word that has come from Bnei Brak, that there's a problem with naming names that aren't names. Right, the story goes usually something to do with the name of Shira, something of that nature. Where you go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and he says, "Oh, I'm sorry, that's not a name. You have to change it." And no one's really sure what this is about, because again, we don't have any tshuvas about this. But what's the problem with name? We see names throughout the Gemara seem to be made up. We see people using Goyish names in the Gemara, Benu Peter. Right? We see different names used all the time. It's Lachora. Why is this name any worse than any other non-Jewish name? Why, what does that mean that you made up a name? All names are made up. So Reb Chaim comes from, those that have asked him, he's coming from the following Medrash. A Medrash in Mar Mokum 8. Sorry, no. A Medrash in Mar Mokum 16. Mar Malkum 16, where the Medrash says, Ulishem Yulad Gamhu Avi Kol Bnei Ever, Ula Ever Yulad Shnei Bonim. Shema Echad Pelek, Ki Biyavmav, why do you call his son Pelek? Because Biyavmav Niflaga Ha'aretz. The world was divided. Reb Yosi B'Shibik, Ben Gamliel, Reb Yosi Omer HaRishonim, Al Yidei Shehayu Makirim Es Yichoseim, Hayu Moitzin Shema'an L'Shema Oira. They used to be able to name Al Yidei Ruach HaKodesh, and therefore they were named based on events that were going to happen, or based on things of this nature. Ava Anu She'ein Anu Makirim Es Yichoseinu, we don't know what's going on. Anu Moitzin L'Shem Avoseinu, we have to name after our forefathers. Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel Omer HaRishonim Al Yidei Shehayu Mishtam Shem Ruach HaKodesh. They used to use Ruach HaKodesh, and the Sfarim do write that when a parent does name his child, there is some element of Ruach HaKodesh, the Arizal writes in Shar Gilgulim, going on where that name was chosen for that person. That's why the Hakpoda, not to say the name in public before it's announced. Hayu Moitzin L'Shem HaMe'ora, Ava Anu She'ein Mishtamshim B'Ruach HaKodesh, Anu Moitzin L'Shem Avoseinu. Reb Chaim says, you see, the Medrash says, we don't have the ability to make up new names based on events. We don't have the ability to make up new names in general. We have to always, we don't have Ruach HaKodesh anymore. All we have the ability to do is name Achar Avoy Seh. So they asked Reb Chaim, but again, if you go through Jewish history, look at the Gemara, look at the Rishonim. They all have made up names. What's going on? Reb Chaim is not bothered, accused by that. His Lashon, the quote over here is, you didn't answer the question. You brought a beautiful medrash, a beautiful raya. But at the end of the day, we see that Jewish custom has not been like this throughout the Gemara. No one ever says it's a problem to have a name, Ravina, right? No one ever said such a thing. Says Reb Chaim, Mashem Etzina B'Doris HaKadmoyinim Shekoru Midas Atzma, that which we see in previous generations, Kenira Hoyolahem Siboy Shekoru, they probably had reasons for it. The reasons could have, well, we have Jewish documentation, we have tshuvas from Rabbeinu Tam, tshuvas from the Rosh, how non-Jews used to force them to have secular names. Reb Chaim is not bothered. There could be a million reasons why they had secular names. It could be that the Goyim at the time forced them into it. It could, whatever reason, he said, I'm not bothered with that. At the end of the day, the Medrash says, you name Achar Avoseinu, and therefore, only after forefathers. Again, it's not clear whether Reb Chaim held that it holds that it's aser. Are you coming to me for a bracha? You have a certain tzara, and you want to know what you should do. I think this is something that you should do. Or even if you don't have a certain tzara, you're coming for me for a bracha. I should tell you that this name doesn't carry with it what a name could carry with it. You have the opportunity to call a child Sara Rivka Rachel, and you're naming that something with a name that doesn't have all those zechuyos. So Reb Chaim's suggesting. It's not clear whether he holds it aser gomer, but he quotes this medrash as just something I wanted to address because many people do ask, they don't know, they go for a bracha and they come out all confused. What's my name? I have no idea what my name is anymore. So this is l'chori where he's coming from. Again, most poskim have not accepted this. They say there's nothing wrong with these names. There's nothing wrong with making up a name. We see throughout Jewish history there's nothing wrong at all. But this is seemingly where his opinion comes from. So back to our Shiloh. So Rav Moshe was asked about naming after a mother, if the mother had a secular name. Rav Moshe says it's a davar meguna to give a secular name, and it's something which at the time was inappropriate, but once it's become a part of our culture, it is not a problem, and the maila of kibud aim seemingly would trump this problem, this meta problem, this davar meguna of giving a secular name, and therefore he suggests to give the name. However, he says, since she was Nifteres young, you should add a name. That's the approach of Rav Moshe. Now comes Rav Moshe and says, but maybe you'll tell me, doesn't the Medrash say, these parshiyas, why were we zeichet to get out of Mitzrayim? Shiloishinu eshimam. Because we didn't change our name. Says Rav Moshe, Shiloishinu eshimam. So why are we not being makbid on the same thing? I'm telling you, it's a nice inyan, but you don't have to do it. What do you mean? Chazal scream and yell. You know the only reason we were Ovid Avodah Zarah, the only reason we got out of Mitzrayim was? Shalayshinu Eshimam. So why are we not makbid on that? Says Rav Moshe Dover Hafla Vafela. Arkidekach, Rav Moshe says this. This is, and he writes at the end, I think it's right, but I'm not confident enough to say that this is the truth. Says Rav Moshe, you want to know? Back into Maromokum 9. Says Rav Moshe, take a look. Vihine, last paragraph, Mar Malkum 9. Vihine, Yesh Malkum Loimar Dizesh Shibchu Chazal, Begolas Mitzrayim Shaloishinu Eshemoisan, Hulikoide Matan Torah. Shelo haya heker gadol b'shvil kiyam ha-mitzvahs to b'nei noyach. U'bifrat shechele gadol mi-yisrael avdu gamken as avayda zara. V'ruban lo yimolu es b'neiim ad samach l'geula. Says Rav Moshe, before Matan Torah, the main thing that differentiated the Jews from the society around them, they didn't have mitzvahs, they didn't have isurim, they weren't even keeping mila at the time. So what differentiated a Jew from a guy? It was the culture, the way they dressed, the way they spoke, the names that they used. So then, of course, it was of highest importance, of highest priority to make sure that you keep these elements of our culture. But now, inherently, because we have Torah Hakdot, we have Torah Moshe, so now inherently we're different. Inherently we daven 3 times a day, we learn every day, we put on tefillin, tzitzit, so we're different by definition, so we don't have to rely, it's still davar megunah, but we don't have to rely me'ikar adin on the cultural aspect. What's fascinating is, Rav Moshe says this as a svar l'alacha, something which the Maharal already said many years before. Take a look at a Maharal in Gvuras Hashem. Maharal writes, the reason why it was so important for them to keep these cultural aspects, Shalashina Shema Mabusham, says Maharal Mar Malkum 19, this was only because they weren't a nation yet. After the ellipsis, says the Maharal in Gvuras Hashem, it's a beautiful piece of Maharal, if you have time later, Mar Malkum 19, says Maharal, Ulekach Zochru HaChachamim, Ki Bizchus Arba Dvarim Elu Nigalu Mi Mitzrayim, Ki Me'acher Shehayu Oindim B'Soich Mitzrayim, Lo Kimo HaGolyo Shehem Ata. This is different than the Golis that we're in right now, says the Maharal. Avul B'Mitzrayim, because now we're already a nation, we're already established, we're already inherently different. So of course, he's not advocating necessarily using non-Jewish names, but it's not as integral. When we say that Mitzrayim, that the Jews got out of Mitzrayim because they had nothing else to differentiate them, otherwise they would have been totally assimilated. What kept them from entire assimilation? That was Shaloshinu Esmabusha Melishayim. But Bindbanazeh, it's not as important. Fascinating. You see, Rav Moshe used the halacha, the svara of this mara. However, I would argue that this is against the Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma tells us, a beautiful Meshech Chachma, such a sadistic Meshech Chachma, going into these parshiyos of Shemois that we have to understand. Meshech Chachma says, you want to know the Maila of Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim, says the Meshech Chachma? Take a look, it's Dover, we don't think about it. Half of a fella. They were over kol many usurim. They were halalu oivdei avodah zarah, v'halalu oivdei avodah zarah, says the Meshech Chachma. But why did they get out of Mitzrayim? Because shaloshinu es malbusham, shaloshinu l'shoinim, shaloshinu es malbusham. Says the Meshech Chachma, he says, you see, when it comes to Golos Bavel, it was exactly the opposite. When it comes to Golos Bavel, they took the non-Jewish names, they took the non-Jewish culture, they took everything from the culture around, they kept the halachas, they kept the isurim, they were shomer Torah mitzvahs. But in terms of the culture, they absorbed it all, and that's why Chazal tell us that when it comes to leaving Golos Bavel, if they would have been roi, they would have had a Kriyas Yamsuf like Yotzei Mitzrayim, but they weren't roi. Why, when it comes to Golos Bavel, they're not right, but Yitzias Mitzrayim, they are right. Yitzias Mitzrayim, they're Avodah Zarah. They're not keeping a single halacha, they're not even doing Mila. But, Shaloshinu es L'shoinim es Mabusham, but the culture they maintained, they're Zoyche to Akriyas Yamsuf. When it comes to Bavel, they're keeping every Kutza Shal Yud in halacha and Shulchan Aruch. But the culture, they're totally assimilated, non-Jewish names, non-Jewish language, they're not Zoyche to Yitzias like Yitzias Mitzrayim. Says the Meshech Chachma. There are times in Jewish history where certain things even overwhelm halacha, even more important than halacha. When Klal Yisrael is ba'artzeinu, so of course, supreme importance, of course. But when Klal Yisrael is begolus, even more essential to our survival, says the Meshech Chachma, than keeping Torah Moshe, of course that's not negotiable, but even more essential to our survival, the zechus which gets us out of the begolus, is maintaining our identity. We're different, we're separate, we're a separate people. And Shaloshinu, Shaloshinim, Es Malbusham, Es Shemam, is just as important. Maintaining our own sense of identity, our own culture, is as important as maintaining our religion, the continuity of Yahudas, as is the halachas itself. Arke dekach, that we see in Bavel, why were they not zeicha? Even they were shomer Torah mitzvahs. They were not zeicha because they didn't keep the culture. Meshech Chachma says, that's the uniqueness of Mitzrayim. And when Jews living in Golos, especially in Medina Shel Chesed like we are right now, it's come so easy to acculturate, to assimilate in terms of culture. I'm keeping the Torah. I'm keeping the Torah, mitzvahs. Keep Shabbos, Baruch Hashem. We don't have these types of nisyonis for our door. I'm keeping all the things.
when it comes to the culture, we're not recognizable. It says the Meshech Chachma, the nisyonis of Golas is in the area of culture. Shalashinus Lashinim, Shalashinus Mabusham, Shalashinus Shemal. This is something, this time of year, we should be thinking about. Beautiful insight from the Meshech Chachma. It seems to be in conflict with Ramesha, who says that Bizman Azeh, it's not as important. Ramesh Chachma says that no, this is the Messiah for Golas. Golas, the stress always has to be on Shalashinus Mabusham, that culturally we're different. We don't assimilate from the cultural perspective. We don't value the same things they value. It's not only about halacha. About priorities, values, but as Hashem, we take this lesson to heart, we'll be able to get out of this golas with the nisim v'niflaos of a yetzias Mitzrayim.